Well, good morning. We'd like to welcome everybody to Hillcrest Baptist Church this morning. We're going to start off this morning's service with a baptismal. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come to your house, Lord, and listen to the word that you brought on Brother Jerry's heart, Lord, and he will bring it to us, Lord, and that we can receive that word. That it would fall on receptive ears and hearts. That there'd be somebody lost here today that needs to know you, that they would hear that word, Lord, and it would prick their hearts, and that they would step out and come forward and ask you into their life. Now, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with the ones that are going through baptism this morning, and that we as a church would get behind them in any way that we can and help them along the way. It's all these things that we ask and pray, Lord, in your sweet and precious holy name. Amen.
Raise her up, the resurrection. In the name of God. Thank you.
Please stand and join us as we sing the verse, third verse of Victory in Jesus.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there a song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us, that we can come and worship you. Lord, I thank you for Bobby, that your name's been put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, Lord, help us as a church to love her and help teach her about your love for us from your word. Now, Lord, be with the choir and us, and we sing now. We worship you from our hearts. Be with our pastor as he stands before us and preaches your holy word, that you'd hold him up, Lord. And we'll give you all the glory and praise for the outcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's always good to start with the baptism. And we will continue on with our call to worship, and we'll sing number 215, Majesty. You may be seated. What a wonderful start to a worship service this morning. It is good to be in the house of God this morning. Good to see all your lovely faces this morning. I have a few announcements for you, and most of them are found in the bulletin. So if you didn't get a bulletin, grab one on your way out this afternoon. But I just want to point out a few things that are going on. The coat drive. The Challengers are doing a coat drive, which ends today. So if you're like the Heberer family and put together some coats and left them sitting by the front door, you still can do it tonight. Just make sure you bring them. Yeah, always. But please make sure they're clean and in good condition or brand new. They will take brand new ones as well. Brother Jerry has announced that the new Family Life Center is looking for a name. And so if you want to suggest a name, write it on a card and hand it to him, or put it in the offering plate would be fine. We want to make it a name that the community would want to come and play games and do things in the Family Life Center and learn about God in the Family Life Center. So think about that. I am super excited about several things coming up. Tonight is special music night, and so be ready for that. Come tonight, and you're going to hear some talented people singing, playing instruments, reading some scripture. Brother Carl does almost every time. So if you have a talent and you would like to exhibit that talent, there's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. If you forget to sign up, I'm sure Brother Jerry will write you down. And if there's not enough names, he might even call you up on stage to perform a solo or two. Another activity coming up, the Valentine's Day banquet is coming up, and I know you were super excited about that. The talent, none better. it is this Saturday, February 4th. It starts at 6 p.m. The cost is just $5 per person. That is a cheap date. So please sign up for that out in the foyer. Today is the last day to sign up for that. It is country western themed, so bring your hats and your boots and be ready for some great entertainment, great food, and just a lot of laughs and a good time of fellowship. A couple things that are not in the bulletin that I wanted to point out from the youth group. On February 17th and 18th, we are going to be doing the D-Now program, and there's going to be three different worship services at First Baptist Church, which we will be driving the vans to, and then we'll come back here Friday night for a lock-in. So if you are a youth, we need you to sign up ASAP. We need to know how many people to sign up for that. If you know of somebody that might be interested, we will take as many people as we can. So that's on February 17th and 18th. And then in the near future, March 10th and 11th, the youth are going to Murfreesboro for YEC, which is a concert, and we're going to be staying tonight in a hotel room, and so it'll be a good time for that as well, and that's March 10th and 11th, so mark that on your calendar. I believe that is all the announcements that I have. Yek, YEC is the Youth Evangelism Conference. Great music, and then we'll have a speaker. We'll deliver a powerful message. Every year we see 300, 400, 500 youth come to know Christ through YEC. So it is a wonderful opportunity for the young people to go, and some of the old people to go to and just experience God in a whole different way. So mark that on your calendar. Is that it now? All right. We want to welcome you to Hillcrest Baptist Church. Visitors, thank you for coming today. We are so happy that you chose to come to Hillcrest this morning. We're going to welcome each other this morning. The way we do that is we're going to stand up, we're going to shake hands, we're going to hug necks, or we're going to wave. So let's stand up and sing.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've
been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this art. For our part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel his sons. For I'm part of the family of God.
Well, there is a handsome fella in here somewhere. Yeah. It was on this side. I hope that you had a good week. And I hope you're ready today to hear from the Lord, that you absolutely know who Jesus Christ is. If you leave here not knowing, then I have failed. You are going to hear that you can know without a doubt who Jesus is. We have several that are going to have surgery in the next couple weeks, so pray for one another. Carolyn, it's sure good to see you sitting back there. She must be feeling a little bit better. She's been out for several weeks, surgery. And we're glad that you're here. And Don, we're glad you're here too with her. I bet, yeah. All righty. If you know somebody that's going to have surgery, let us know, because we sure would like to pray for you. And speaking of prayer, let's go to the Lord and pray together. Almighty Father, God, we love you and praise you. You're our God, our Lord, our Savior. You created us. Lord, when we ask you to heal us, you know exactly what our bodies need and when it needs it. And we just know, God, that you know how to fix us when we're hurt. So I lift those up, Lord, that are going to have surgeries, and those that are sick, that you would touch them in just a great and mighty way. And as you touch them, Father, they would feel the very presence of God in their life. We praise you, Father, for who you are. You're the giver of all blessings. Father, you're the giver of mercy. You're the giver of forgiveness. You gave us your Son to die for our sins. I pray, God, that if there's anybody in our sanctuary today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would just know that Christ died for them too, and they'd give their life to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life that you give us. Thank you for the Word of God that we have. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to read the Word and know it's true, and Father, that we have a trust in you, and we have confidence in you, and that just comes from walking with you. So, God, I just praise you for who you are and what you do for our church and your people. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've poured out on Hillcrest Baptist Church. With the new building, Father, we know that that's all been from you, and Father, soon we'll be able to use it on a regular basis. I pray, Lord, that you would give us direction and help, Lord, as we explore unknown territory. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us through that. I pray, Father, for the neighborhood, that they would see activities over here as we open it soon, and Lord, that we would be able to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd use it as a tool to reach souls for you. I pray, Father, for this country, the things that are going on in this country. I pray that you would pour out your peace on us. You would help us, Father, to realize that we need to return to you. And Father, that we need to get right with you, that we need to ask forgiveness for our sinfulness. And Father, Scripture tells us if we do that, then you'll hear our prayers that are made in this place. Thank you, Lord. for being here today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, come on down. A lot of you down here. I hope I have enough candy. What if I don't? I do. I got extra. Listen, this is a pretty hard scripture today. Which spirit is? Yes, God. Now listen to this. John baptized Jesus. And the Bible says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And listen to this. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." You know what we've just saw? We saw what we call the Trinity. We see God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit in these two verses. But I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. All of us, when we get saved, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter or the Helper. That's because he helps us in life. He helps us when we sin. He tells us, you're sinning, you need to ask forgiveness for that sin. He also tells us when we struggle, you know, sometimes we don't understand what the Bible says. And all we have to do is ask him for help, and he helps, gives us wisdom of what the Bible says. And he also tells us what Jesus wants him to tell us about the Lord Jesus. But here's what I want to really share with you that's real important. He seals us. He seals us from sin. He seals us from people talking to us and saying we can't go to heaven if we tell a lie. He takes care of all that for us. You know what it is to be sealed? Well, let me share. Brother Bobby told us this Thursday. You know what these are? Bobby, you know what those are? These are green beans. Now, what if I'm going to take this top off and pour it on you? I couldn't pour it on you, could I? I could shake it up. You know why? That seals those beans in, and I have to take a can opener to open those. Well, that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit seals us so that you and I, when we get saved, we'll always be able to go to heaven. Nobody can take that away because it's just like that lid right there. The Holy Spirit seals our heart, our soul. And even Satan can't rob us of that. Nobody can take your eternal life with Jesus away from you because the Holy Spirit has sealed you. He's paid the price for you to go to heaven. Isn't that a good thought? That as you grow up, we're all going to sin, and I'm going to talk about that today. But even though we sin, the Holy Spirit seals us so that we always go to heaven when we pass away from this earth. You guys have been really good today.
Cats.
How do you know that? You've been smelling this?
I felt it.
You felt it? All right, we're going to take care of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want one day of school. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with numbers 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns, 161. Please stand as we continue on with number 337, I Know Whom I Have Believed, 337.
To me he did it.
may be seated.
Kept watching Wayne, overpowered by the women. Go for it, women, go for it. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. The title of this message is Knowing the Truth.
knowing that you can depend on the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." These are pretty important verses to us. How many of you remember Sonny and Cher? They sang a song written by Sonny called "I Got You, Babe." He wrote this: "At least I'm sure of all the things we got, babe, I got you." Later in the song, he writes, "I don't care with you, I can't go wrong, I got you, babe." And then several things went on. "I got you to hold my hand. I got you to understand. I got you to walk with me. I got you to talk with me." You know, as I read these words, it reminded me of our romance when we were 16 years old. I had to fight Rhonda to hold my hand, but I finally won. I whooped her and I got her hand. The next one is, "I got you to kiss me goodnight." Well, that took about 10 years for that one. "I got you to hold me tight. I got you, I won't let go. I got you to love me so. I got you, babe." He wrote that somewhere around 1965. Then in June 26, 1975, Sonny and Cher got divorced. Their marriage of 11 years came to a bitter end. Evidently, Sonny was wrong. He didn't have her. And there were things that went wrong. He had no control. We're going to read some verses today, and John's going to talk about how God has us. He doesn't call us babe. "I got you, Jerry. I got you, Steve. I got you, Teresa. I got my children. And you can't leave me, and I can't leave you." Four times in our verses today, depending on the Bible you use, he uses the word "know," that you will know who he is. And you can depend on that. He also uses the word "know," or "in this that we do know," 39 times in 1 John, five chapters in this book, and uses it 39 times. Some of the versions may have 37, some may have 41, but the King James has 39 times. "This you will know me by," or "I can know who the Lord Jesus Christ is." That's pretty important, especially for Christians. We need to know that we can know without a doubt who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, John knows what he's talking about. He walked with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He studied with Jesus. He followed Jesus. You know, John, he watched Jesus for 3.5 years walking this earth, performing miracles and made those miracles work. He heard Jesus preach. He watched Jesus handle people when they would attack him. So John knows what he's talking about when he talks about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he uses 1 John, the whole five chapters, teaching us that we can know the Lord Jesus and we can count on his words. Jesus, through John, taught us several things. He taught us mainly that as believers, we cannot sin. Now, I'm going to share with you how that happens. You and I know that we do sin, right? All of us, from time to time. John's going to talk about that, but he's going to tell us that sin is never the result of your walk with the Lord. Sin is not the result of your relationship with the Lord. In fact, he's going to tell us the closer you get to the Lord, the the more you walk with the Lord, the less you will sin. That's a key point that we need to know. If we continually sin over and over, habitual sin of some type, that means we need to get closer to the Lord. God knows we're going to face these things. He knows that we're going to sin. But he'll tell us that in verse 18, we'll explain that in a second, but Jesus has this under control. I don't know about you, but as he writes this, it's so that we can know the absolute truth of God's word. And somebody wrote it like this: every man wants to know, absolutely know, that his wife loves him. Would you agree with that, guys? Every woman would absolutely want to know that their husband loves them. Women, is that right? Children, they absolutely want to know that parents love them. So as Christians, don't we want to know without any doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us? Yes. Too often, we get sidetracked and pull away from the Lord. And as we pull away further and further, that walk I was talking about, if it gets less and less, we begin to doubt God. We can even say, God doesn't hear my prayers. I've been sinning too much. But that's what John is teaching us about today. If you're born again, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, God has ways of letting you know who he is, what he's going to do, what he's going to use you for. So realize he's talking to us today. Written 2,000 years ago, but he's talking to us. Look at 1 John 5, verse 20. And let's just review that again. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He wants us to know that you absolutely know him, who he is. And if you give your life to him, you're in him. He's in you. You know God the Father. And eternal life is waiting for you. Christians, don't ever lose that thought, that seal. When you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have a place prepared for you in heaven. It's over as far as your salvation goes. Now, relationships are a different thing. I read a story that started out like this: there's nothing worse than not knowing. And you can apply that to your life. When you don't know something and you're heading into something, you really want to know all about that, don't you? When you go for a job interview, don't you want to know kind of what they're going to talk about, what they're going to hit you with as far as questions go? If you're going to the grocery store, you want to know kind of what you're going to have to pay before you go, because you need the cash to pay for it. We need to know things. Our heart desires to know things. I read this from one of the preachers I read. He started out, it's about knowing. He asked the question, did you hear the story about a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher who went deer hunting together? When a prize buck ran past, they all fired at the exact same time and the buck dropped. The problem was that there was only one bullet hole and they didn't know which of them shot it. They decided to take it to the registration center, hoping the agent could figure out who killed that trophy deer. The agent said, let me look at the deer. Sometimes I can figure that out. He asked a few questions, examined the deer carefully, and declared, the preacher shot the buck. Amazed, the other two asked, how in the world did he know that the preacher shot the buck? Stooping down, he pointed at the wound. See here? It went in one ear and out the other. I thought I was going to have to explain that to you, but evidently I don't. He He went on to say, folks, in order for us to know and to grow, we have to make sure that Scripture doesn't go in one ear and out the other. John has spent what we categorize in five chapters telling us about the love of God and salvation waiting for those that are saved. Now, I wrote this. Do you want to know without a doubt that you have everlasting life when you pass away? Wouldn't it be terrible if you knew you were going to take your last breath and you're kind of scared where you're going to end up at? John's talking to us about that today. For us who wants to know that we are secure in our walk for eternity with Jesus, let's read verse 18 together. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. This is kind of an odd verse. It has to be studied, and probably need a commentary to really understand what it's saying. John says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but we all struggle with sin. So how does this make any sense? So run to just another verse above. Look at verse 17. This is a starting point of how we know what Jesus is expecting from us. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is not sin. There is sin not leading to death. I want you to hear the first part of verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. He wrote that probably because many people take sin too lightly. And he probably knows us better than we know ourselves. He thinks, or we think, that sins are small or sins are large. But what about what God thinks? All unrighteousness is sin. So those little sins are just as bad as the big sins. To God, sin is sin, and any sin is unrighteousness. So if we want to know without a doubt who God is and what he's doing for us, we need to make sure that we understand that all sin is unrighteousness to God. That's a key point. Sometimes we think that some sins are not black and white. There's some gray area. But when it comes to God, there's absolutely no gray area when it comes to sin. When he says, don't do this, he does not mean you can do that part of it, but not this part. There's absolutely no gray area when it comes to God. So as believers, we need to understand that all sin is unrighteousness. There's no small or large, and there's no gray area when it comes to sin. Some may think that God permits some sin over other sins, but that's not so easy either, is it? All unrighteousness in God's eye is sin. So what do we do about that? Some seem to be acceptable, but there's no sin that's acceptable to God. Thus, he sent Jesus. So John is teaching that God sees all sin as unrighteousness, and those that are truly born again, we strive to be sin-free. We won't make that mark until we get to heaven, but we strive to be sin-free. The next point in verse 18 is really difficult. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Believers, you try, but you cannot be perfect. You cannot be sin-free without the Lord Jesus Christ. What verse 18 is talking about is he who has been born of God, that's actually Jesus Christ he's talking about, who keeps himself, but he's not keeping himself, he's keeping us. God sent Jesus so that we know that when we do sin, our sin is being covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the propitiation for our sins. He hung on that cross and absorbed our sins. He took care of our sin problem. So the whole time that we're believers in the Lord on this earth, God is seeing us through Jesus. He's taking care of us and this sin problem that all of us have. Now, your preacher's not giving you permission to sin. Don't you hear that? Well, what I am trying to tell you is you can have knowledge that when we sin, we ask forgiveness through Jesus. And through Jesus, God sees us as righteous. That's a promise that all believers need to hang on to. All you guys, if you are around me all the time, I may not be your preacher. You know, you may see things that I do that I know better, but I see you too as well. And, you know, we all are guilty. We all know that Jesus Christ paid that price for us. And when it comes to eternal life, we've been sealed, absolutely sealed by the Holy Spirit. And through our whole life, God, through the Holy Spirit, is convicting us of that sin. What John is explaining to us is we are without sin. A believer is not to habitually sin, to sin the same thing over and over and over. But even at that, you have the promise of the Holy Spirit sealing you. What the question is if you continue to sin over and over and over, were you actually saved the first time, the time you gave Jesus your life? Was that true? Was that real? We all need to evaluate that, make sure that we're okay with the Lord. Somebody texted me this week, and they wanted to know if committing suicide, you'd go to hell. My answer to them was, not if you're saved. Suicide is sinful. The reason it's sinful is because you take God's will and put it in your will. You do what you want to do, and you don't ask God about it. I dread sometimes even mentioning the word suicide because I know that sometimes you don't hear everything I say. Sin, there's no black and white issue about that. There's no gray area. Suicide is sin. If you're a believer, you're still going to heaven if you're saved. Nothing keeps you out of heaven because of Christ. Trying to think, make sure I'm saying this right. I don't want to confuse anybody about this. Only God has the authority to give life and take life. That's the sin part of it. When you take your own life, you're taking God's authority and doing away with it. But that's not going to keep you out of heaven. Suicide is just one example. I've heard people say if you tell a lie as a believer, if you tell a lie, you're going to hell. It's not so. Lying is sinful, isn't it? But it's not going to keep you out of heaven. This is why John wrote 1 John chapter 1 through 5, so that we absolutely will know what Jesus does for us, what he's able to do for us, what he's willing to do for us. Just know what John is telling us. We're covered by Christ in our sins. We do need to repent of those sins and ask forgiveness. So 1 John 1 tells us that. If you're sinning, then ask Jesus to forgive you, and he's faithful and just to forgive you for sin, but not only sin, but all unrighteousness. That's our Lord. That's our God. Look at chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and are in him who is true, and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There's three things in here that, probably more than that, but there's three things I want to share with you. Jesus gives us spiritual knowledge of God, and to know that God is true and God exists. I think, this is Jerry's thinking now, but I think that the world is growing further and further away from God, and the world is denying that there's even a God more and more. Even believers, we've had in our Southern Baptist Convention the last 5 or so years, we've had Sunday school writers and Sunday school book publishers that have said, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. If we're not careful, we're pulling away from the Lord and not claiming that God is real. Jesus tells us in John 1:18, no one has seen God but the Lord himself. And he explains to us who God is, so that When you look at 5 and 20, Jesus gives us spiritual knowledge of who God is because he's seen God. He is God. He was in heaven with God. And he knows exactly what he and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit did when it came to creating this world. So we can absolutely know the knowledge of God and who he is. Number two, as a believer, we are in God and Jesus, the Son of God. We are born of God through Jesus, and we live both in God and Jesus Christ. They abide in us. We're one with them. The Holy Spirit abides in us. The Holy Spirit teaches us and grows us and matures us and protects us, and sometimes he chastises us. He convicts us of our sin. If you sin and you're not convicted of it, then there's a problem with your salvation, because the Holy Spirit is in you. One of his jobs is to convict us of our sins. And there's nothing wrong with that. Who in the world wants to go to heaven with a bag full of sins that you're carrying around? I want to go as clean as I can. And the only way I'm going to do that is when the Holy Spirit convicts me when I don't know I'm sinning. Number three, we know God and we are in God and have eternal life through God by Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be when we look the Lord Jesus in the face with all confidence and look the Father in the face and go through Jesus and we're sin free. Only through God can that happen. That's what unbelievers don't understand. But our hope is built around Jesus Christ, and our power is built around Christ. Somebody wrote this: all who truly know Christ as Savior can have full assurance of salvation, but if your life has never been changed by the gospel, don't deceive yourself. The Apostle Paul was concerned that some of the Corinthian church had never truly trusted Christ for salvation. Make sure you are in the faith and rejoice in the true, life-saving, everlasting redemption of Christ. Every Sunday, I offer an invitation, and the invitation always starts out with, make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you've invited Jesus Christ into your life. And when we do invite the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, then we begin a walk with him. Sometimes we're really on fire for the Lord when we first get saved, and then we just kind of drift away, and then God gets hold of us, we drift back, and it's a lifetime battle. But each time we grow a little bit closer and a little bit upward to a relation with our relationship with Jesus. And if you get saved at a young 3 or 4 year, 5 year old, 10 year old age, and you get to be on up there, you're going to be closer to the Lord than you were when you were 10 years old. It may be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and that's just life. That's Jesus teaching us our whole life what he wants and desires of us, and he helps us. He sent the helper, John chapter 16 tells, to help us get through this life so that we can spend eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus today? Are you confident that if you passed away this very moment, that you'd be with Jesus, seeing him face to face? What a day that's going to be. If you're not, I offer an invitation. Come on down here, and I'll be standing right down here. Come on down here. Let me pray with you. Let me tell you that we're all sinners, and all of us born that way. But the gift of God is eternal life if we confess our sins. If you know Christ, pray today during the invitation. If you do not know Jesus as Lord, come forward and let us pray together. So let's stand. Now, Jesus may put another decision in your life, and if he does, you need prayer. Come on down for that too.
My Jesus, I
sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis known. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis known. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and send and bathe to my scald on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis known.